listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. We have a lot to celebrate, a lot to give thanks for this week as we talk to and talk about our Lutheran schools throughout the United States. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, a fine Lutheran institution of higher education as well. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo. Joining me in studio today, some of our friends from the Office of National Mission, the LCMS Office of National Mission Lutheran Schools. We have Terry Schmidt, the director of LCMS
morning,
Schools.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me today, Terry.
Glad to be here.
And Matthew Burkholt, and the coordinator of
online support and services.
Online support and services. I should have that written down in front of me, but
that's all right.
I always think of you by name rather than your title when I see you here at the International
Impressive
Center.
Impressive title.
You're so much more than that, Matt.
Thanks, Andy.
Well, thanks for being here today, guys, to help us take a look at National Lutheran Schools Week. Now, this is an annual tradition for Lutherans, for the LCMS. We celebrate Lutheran schools every year. Anybody know how long this has been going on? How long we've been celebrating?
It started in the 70s. At least it was around when I started as an educator. Carl Moser got things rolling back in the 70s with a reason for us to celebrate jointly with the entire system of Lutheran schools. It's an exciting and much look forward to event every year.
And Matt, when you were in the classroom, did you participate in National Lutheran Schools Week?
Always. So we always had different events and activities and ways that we can both celebrate what we do in the building, but also to connect with other schools in the area. So yeah, we always did something.
Did you have a favorite thing from tradition from National Lutheran Schools Week?
We where I first served, we did classroom banners every year. So each class came up with a banner and then it hung in church for the duration of the week. But then they seemed to hang around for a lot longer than that throughout the course of the church year. So that was kind of neat to see. And it was something that the kids could also get involved with and become a part of. So yeah.
Very good. What is this year's theme for National Lutheran Schools Week? I know we've talked about that a little bit before.
This year we selected the theme, Upon This Rock. And I think it is a very appropriate theme because our schools stand strong on the rock of Jesus Christ. It is all other ground is sinking sand, as they might say.
That's right. That's what our hope is built on, that rock who is Christ our Lord. A great theme, and that is really what the foundation of Lutheran schools is, right?
Absolutely. It's what makes us different. It's what sets us apart.
Expound on that a little bit. What is a Lutheran school? How is it a ministry? How is it different from other schools? How does it set us apart?
Obviously, we do our very best to have the highest standards of quality academic preparation, mathematics, science, reading, writing, the three R's. But the fourth R is the most important thing that we do. Our religious aspect is integrated in all that we do. It's the reason we exist. If we did not have that, we might as well all go away. Because who we represent is the most important thing, the most important thing that we deal with in our schools, with our children, and with the families that we serve.
How then, if that's at the foundation, if that's who we are, that makes a Lutheran education a very valuable thing. What are some ways that you've seen that, or some perhaps even some examples of what you've seen, whether it was your own experience in the classroom or schools that you've had a chance to interact with in your service here in the Office of National Mission? What are some examples of how Lutheran schools are valuable or important, making a difference?
We've just had a kind of a tragic incident over the Christmas break. We lost one of our tremendous Lutheran school teachers in Marengo, Illinois. She was a great teacher, a wonderful coach to her students, well-loved, and was tragically taken from us early when she was involved in a car accident on her way to coaching a basketball team in a tournament. The way the community rallied around the family of this young lady, the way that her sister, who teaches in Tinley Park, Illinois, at a Lutheran school, class had a project to raise some funds so that they could, in the name of that teacher, share some resources, some toys, some Christmas presents with disadvantaged families. In the Chicago area, the rallying around the resurrection meant so much to the family, the Kless family, and to the two schools that were directly involved, and to the Northern Illinois district in such a significant way. It's in times of trial and tribulation when Christ means the most to us, and it's at that time that we stand on that rock in Lutheran schools, encouraging one another with the hope of the resurrection.
Certainly a witness to those who knew her, and the students who were her students, and to their families as well. How are, this is going back in history, how are Lutheran schools an important part of our history as Lutherans in the U.S., in this, you know, Lutherans in North America? How is history, how are schools an important part of our history here in the United States?
Schools were one of the original reasons why the Saxons left Germany and came to Perry County. Education, Christian education, Lutheran Christian education, was a primary reason that CFW took the boat across and established a school at the same time that he established the first Lutheran congregation. From the earliest, Martin Luther was a huge advocate of Christian Lutheran schools, and from the earliest times, we have been, Lutheran schools have played a critical and important role in the education, health, and vitality of a congregation, in preparing the children for succession in that long line of saints who have gone on before. So obviously, it's from the beginning and throughout our history, schools have played a critical role in this church of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Matt, how would you say that a school is a part of a congregation's ministry, whether it's a school, you know, that's directly associated with a congregation, that's part of a congregation, or an association of congregations that form a school? How do you see it as a part of that congregation's ministry?
Right. One of the big things that I always see, my wife works at an association school. So we are three different congregations that have come together to do an educational ministry. It's always interesting to see how the school events, the different ways that, you know, the school students are involving themselves in the congregation, how that brings the congregations together, how it reminds them, you know, where it was that they started, where it was that they might have come from, a Lutheran school or not, but to say, you know, this is why we're doing what we do. So it helps bind the congregation together. It gives them that grounding in where they came from in the past. But also for some of those schools that are the sole congregation, you know, church and school, a lot leverage, you know, both ways, both the congregation learning from the school and the school learning from the congregation. You know, out of the mouth of babes definitely shows all the time whenever you put both of those ministries together. As an outreach, as a true ministry to the community, I know my first call was to an urban inner city area, and being able to be that ray of light that is on the campus 5 days a week, as opposed to just an hour or two on a Sunday morning, people kind of see your ministry differently based on the fact that you're there constantly and investing in the students, but also in the community around you.
Now, we've talked a little bit about a couple of different types of school, an association school or a congregation or a parish school. What are the different types of Lutheran schools that we have across the country? Because we have elementary schools, we have early childhood, we have middle schools, high schools. Tell me, who wants to take a stab at that one? The different types of schools. We have association, parish schools. Tell me a little bit about the different types of schools we have.
Right. We've got kind of the depth and breadth of the types of schools that we have. Like you mentioned, you know, from a grade-based standpoint, you've got your early childhood, your elementary, your middle, your high school, and any and all variation thereof. You know, some are standalone early childhoods where it is truly just, you know, a birth through pre-K or even just pre-K. You have some that are pre-K, including early childhood or including early elementary, kindergarten, or any of the lower grade levels. You have some that combine all the way up through, you know, birth through high school. The very few of those, but different flavors from a grade-based standpoint. From a What they look like in a congregation setting. Like you said, there are the single congregation, single school, multi-congregation to single school. Some places are, you know, multi-congregation to even multi-location schools, supporting different locations around. So all different types, and that doesn't even dive into the type of education that's in there from, you know, from a classical standpoint, from a traditional standpoint, for something that looks completely different from one state to another, from one city to another. So lots of different types, lots of different ways that Lutheran education has been able to fit into the communities that they're in.
And Andy, taking that in another direction, the beautiful diversity that we have in our schools is amazing. You can go from West Portal, which is 98% Asian American students, to North Miami, which is 98% Haitian students, to Unity in East St. Louis, which is 99% African American students. We have incredible diversity that really surpasses what we see in our congregations. In many of our schools are far more ethnically, racially diverse than the congregations that sponsor them. And our challenge, of course, is to bring that diversity then into our congregations that are sponsoring those schools in a welcoming and a winsome way.
Tell me about those who provide leadership, who staff, who the faculty of these schools. How are they prepared and equipped? What are they prepared and equipped for to be a Lutheran educator?
Obviously, if we are standing on the rock, we are continuously talking about Jesus and integrating that into everything that we do. We need Lutheran teachers to be able to do that, and at their very, very finest, that's what we do. Obviously, we have a synodical system of preparation. We have a colloquy process for students who prepare in our secular institutions or in Valparaiso, and then they come on over. And those are primarily what our schools are looking for in candidates. But we also have other Christian folks who teach in our school as well. Our schools, even the membership of our staff is somewhat diverse in the way those compositions are put together as well.
Tell me about your preparation to become an educator, Matt.
Right, so undergrad at one of the Concordia universities, formerly known as River Forest. Now I think it's called Chicago. But undergrad coursework from the traditional standpoint of, you know, what it means to be a teacher, to get all of that grounding. But then there was the additional coursework and certification along the lines of, you know, what it means to be a Lutheran teacher, to go through things like coursework called Teaching the Faith. So different ways to approach the methodology of education.
Did you have Dr. Bertels for that?
I did.
Me too.
I think he finally retired.
No, after me.
Yeah, or me, I don't know. But going through the coursework that would give you both the grounding in you know, the methodology, but also how it is that you apply that within the Christian Lutheran setting that we work. So from there on out, it's more coursework and continue to learn.
Now, did you go the elementary education route or secondary ed?
I was secondary ed. My student taught high school up at Luther North in Chicago. And God said, no, you're going to go teach middle school? Okay. taught middle school and loved it from there. But yeah, at the secondary level. So.
And so do you have a concentration when you study or prepare for a secondary
ed? I do. I'm in history. So, yeah.
And now it's all history, right?
And now it's all history from there. Yes, this is most certainly true.
Do you miss the classroom from time to time?
A little bit. There are certain things that I definitely do not miss about it.
Homework?
Some of the homework, some of the other pieces of that. You know, each job has its challenges. I think the one thing that I do miss is in the position that I'm in right now, being able to go out. I see amazing things in all of our Lutheran schools, you know, from early childhood all the way up. The one thing that I do miss is not being able to apply those things that I've learned in all my travels in these last years to a classroom setting, being able to see what works, how it works best, things like that. I'm kind of reliant upon those that are the practitioners in the classroom right now to say, yes, this does, no, it doesn't, and kind of glean it that way, as opposed to the firsthand. That's the one thing that I do miss.
Particularly the skills you learned in lunchroom duty, right?
Right, yes. Lunchroom, car line.
Car line is another thing.
Now, I know we're joking about this, but that is one of the, I think, one of the aspects of educators, particularly Lutheran educators, is, you know, when we think of teachers, we think of the person in the classroom, and that's all that they do. They teach in the classroom, and they grade papers, and that's it. But that's not what a typical Lutheran educator looks like today. You're both nodding your heads. how would you describe the breadth of the things, the work that a Lutheran educator what encompasses being a Lutheran educator?
Historically, the Lutheran educator would be the first person in the two-room schoolhouse to fire up the potbelly stove and clean out the ashes and sweep the floor. We don't go quite that far anymore. But today,
we have electricity.
We do have electricity. We don't have the stove that we have to fire up with coal or with wood, and we don't have to usually have to sweep the floors, although I've known some teachers to be having to do that as well.
I had that in my classroom. Yeah, we did janitorial work, yep.
Exactly.
We call that life skills. We teach the students life skills.
We are prepared for all aspects of life when we leave one of our Concordias. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But being very, very intricately involved in the life of a congregation is paramount. Whether it's coaching the sports teams, or being in the Word, or being a part of a men's club or a women's club or the choir, or being the organist, the people who support the pastoral staff in teaching positions in their school are heavily engaged in an appropriate way with their congregations in a variety of ways. And so that's just an expectation of the folks that we bring in to serve in Lutheran schools.
I would go one more direction on that, too. You know, apart from all the things that our teachers are doing outside of the classroom, a lot of times inside the classroom, people don't realize how different many of our Lutheran schools are based on their size or the history that's there, that many of our teachers are teaching 5, 6, 7 different subjects, so 7 different preps to prepare during the day. I always remember going to some of the conferences where it was, you know, a mix of public and private school teachers. Then you would say, you know, I've 7 or 8 preps, and they looked at you like you had 3 heads, because they were in a place that had somebody who could teach history all day long or who could teach math all day long. I mean, there were certain times in the classroom where I was teaching math and social studies and religion
teaching the same lesson all day long 7 times would be
it would get old.
Six or seven
it would
times
definitely get old. You don't know what you taught the first class versus the second class, what jokes you made. Yeah. So
I from my own experience, at our school, at our church, our teachers each are gifted in different ways, and what you described is very true. Many of them teach several different subjects, and you know have to prep for all those. But as you mentioned, Terry, they're involved in the life of the congregation as well. They realize that the way that they're given to serve is not just in the classroom, but they're also an important part of the congregation. So they use their gifts and talents to serve in other ways in the congregation as well. Some serving in Sunday school or supporting Sunday school. Some serving in other ways through music and other opportunities in the congregation. Others do a great job of helping connect families with families, with other families, and finding that one way to connect this family with this family so they can support one another and provide that mutual support that through the gifts that God has given us.
One of the things as a principal that I was always wary of is the involvement of my teacher. I did not want them to burn out because they put in a long day of preparation, teaching, and then evaluation at the end of the day when they take those papers home to grade. And so they do need that break at Christmas, or that break in the spring, or a couple of weeks in the summer where they can actually disengage. And that's a healthy disengagement. A lot of our folks are they're so involved that they can burn themselves out. So we have to care for our workers in addition to inspiring them to work hard. And it's often back off a bit. That's what mm-hmm. you often have to tell your folks. They're so engaged and so motivated. So,
well, and that brings up a good point. What are ways that we can care for our Lutheran teachers? What are ways that we can show them that we appreciate them partnering with us in raising our kids? As a parent, what are things that I can do to help our Lutheran educators in our school, just by, how can I show appreciation to them for the great work that they do in helping through teaching and providing that nurture for my child?
All right. Biggest one is prayer. I mean, that's kind of the given, as we know. But, taking the time to talk to them, to say, what's going on in your life from a parent standpoint, realizing that a lot of our teachers, they've got the life at home as well, and just to form that bond to say, as an educator, I know that I'm supported by the parents that I have in my classroom. Doing the little things, figuring out what it is that a teacher enjoys doing, or snacks and foods, just little things like that. And not even during things like National Lutheran Schools Week, mm-hmm. but to say, just a random, Thursday morning that something just randomly appears to say thank you, goes a long ways.
Now, you mentioned acknowledging that they have a life outside of school, so they
yes.
don't live at school.
No, not very many of them, no.
Isn't that funny? What we perceive as a child, we think that our teacher lives at school, somehow stays with us into our adult lives as well.
Right.
We sometimes just assume that the teachers
are
always
there. See him in the grocery store. You say, "You're not supposed to be here in the grocery
I
store.
I see you at school. What are you doing here?"
I remember when I was working in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. We didn't have family, and when our children were sick, as the principal, I would bring my sick child to school, put him in the back of my office on a beanbag chair, and he would sleep in the office and just have to get better because there was nobody at home to take care of. My wife was teaching, I was teaching, and the congregation truly was our life, completely engaged mm-hmm. in the congregation in every aspect. Yeah. Including caring for sick children.
Now, and at that time, you didn't have things like Facebook where you just put out a message in the morning and say, "Who wants to take care of a sick child today," right?
But I will say one more thing about supporting your teacher. Trust your teacher. Trust. A lot of our teachers have been around a long time. And if they discipline a child or they say something, or trust what they're doing. They've got a lot of experience in many cases. And even if they're a young teacher, a new teacher, trust them, because they love your child in much the same way that you love your child. They want the best for them. A lot of times folks second guess and things get out of control, and just a little trust and understanding is mm-hmm. is.
Well,
really helpful.
And from a parent's perspective, one way to build that trust is to get to know them.
Without a doubt.
When they're involved in the life of the congregation too, you're at, events together, you're worshiping together, you're studying God's word together. You get to know each other that way. Mm-hmm. And through getting to know, you build that trust as
yeah.
well. That's one of the advantages of Lutheran education, is that your life together doesn't stop at the classroom door. You get to have this opportunity to know your teachers through the life of the congregation and build that relationship, not just in the classroom.
Even your own children mm-hmm. are changed by your service in the church. I remember my oldest daughter, when she was about a freshman in high school, we were talking about what she wanted to be, what she wanted to do as she go on, and she looked at her mother and she said, "I will never be a Lutheran school teacher like you," and pointed at her mother. And today she's a Lutheran school teacher in in Rochester Hills, Michigan, and has come a long way. But she spent a lot of time following us around at school on summer days when we went back to work or to paint or to organize uh-huh. or to move furniture or to do whatever we're doing. But she's taken up the gauntlet. And you see that a lot in Lutheran education. A lot of times it's a family affair, several generations of Lutheran school teachers who followed each other into the career.
With just about a minute left, ways that we are celebrating, or special things this year for National Lutheran Schools Week that you'd like for us to highlight?
One of the things that we're doing this year that's really kind of neat, we had tried to pull it together last year, just didn't work. But in the last couple of years, we've had a gentleman, Dr. Jeff Burkhart, who's written a song to go along with the celebrations. It's in the resources and the packets. There's handouts for congregations to use. But this year, we pulled together a National Lutheran Schools Week sing-along. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be up at Concordia St. Paul, where Dr. Burkhart works, and we will be broadcasting on the LCMS School Ministry Facebook page on Thursday, the 26th at 11 a.m., so that anybody who wants to just simply sing along in their classrooms, have it broadcast, whatnot, he's going to walk through, talk about the song, the history, the background, teach it a little bit, but then sing through it. So we'll have hundreds, maybe even thousands of Lutheran schools around the country all at once kind of working through this song for the week. So,
and how can we find that online?
Right. So right now there's an event on the LCMS School Ministry Facebook page. And we're going to add some more additional information in the next couple days about that. And it's going to be a link that's on there when it's live. We might be able to get the link up ahead of time, but when it's live, it'll just be a live event on Facebook.
Very good. Facebook Live. And look for LCMS Schools.
LCMS School Ministry, yep.
All right, LCMS School Ministry on Facebook. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. God's blessings on the rest of National Lutheran Schools Week, and God's blessings on the rest of this academic year as well to you and all your colleagues in Lutheran education.
A happy Lutheran Schools Week to everyone.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Psalm 18 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." And by their actions, Sergeant Charles Gayton and his wife Kayla are leaning on Scripture. Kayla was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and during remission, she naturally became pregnant with quadruplets. She and Charles were thrilled, but during the pregnancy, her cancer symptoms returned. The babies were born at 30 weeks, and their prognosis is excellent. Now, Kayla's going through over a year of chemo treatment, and doctors say her chances of surviving for 5 years are 50-50. But this couple has no regrets. They put their faith in God and stand firmly on His promise. Please pray God would grant her healing and that she'll be a mom to her kids for many years to come.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and congregations across the country as we celebrate Refugee Sunday, a time to lift up the gifts that migrants and refugees bring to our country and to reflect on Christ's message to welcome the stranger. Together, we can continue the mission of welcoming, embracing, and empowering newcomers. Visit LIRS.org/kit to download the Refugee Sunday kit for your congregations, including worship guides, bulletin inserts, videos, and more. LIRS.org/kit.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is National Lutheran Schools Week. A great week here at, for us at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center, because we get to meet and visit with some of our students from Lutheran schools here in the St. Louis metropolitan area, in the bi-state area. And so it's a great opportunity for me to get to meet and talk with some of these students and get to share their stories with you right here on Faith and Family. We have a group from Zion Lutheran School in Staunton, Illinois, in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Zion.
Good morning. Good morning.
Glad to have you all here. Oh, all that was nice and in unison, just like the great music you provided for us in chapel here at the International Center today. I got to hear it. I didn't make it all the way down to the chapel, but I got to hear it as I was passing by this morning. So thanks for sharing your music with us. Well, in studio today, we have a number of friends from Zion Lutheran. We'll start with our principal in studio this morning, Mr. David Manning. Good morning, Mr. Manning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you in studio. Thanks for accepting my invitation and sharing some time with us in studio. Now, how many students, how many friends did you bring from Zion this morning?
We have four in studio with us today. Mm-hmm. Very diverse group.
And you brought musicians this morning to chapel as well, and looks like some parents and others as well. Tell me about the group you brought. How many did you bring all together today?
We had 31 in our new choir. It's aptly named the Thursday Choir because that's the day they practice on. Very creative name there. But 31, grades 4 through 8. It's not all of our 4th through 8th graders, but it's those who love to sing, which is just about all of our 4th through 8th graders. So it was a great group.
Well, speaking of 4th through 8th graders, we have 4th through 8th graders in studio with us this morning. We'll start over here with Taylor. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning.
What grade are you in, Taylor?
6th grade.
6th grade. And how long have you been a student at Zion Lutheran School? Since
I was 3 years old.
Three? Oh, wow. So preschool.
Yes.
So you've been there the whole time. That's great. Well, I look forward to learning more about your time at Zion Lutheran School. And we have Lucy next. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning.
And what grade are you in, Lucy?
I'm in 5th grade.
5th grade. Very good. And how long have you been at Zion?
I started coming in 2nd grade.
Very good. Well, glad to have you here this morning. Ryan, we have Ryan. Ryan, what grade are you in?
4th grade.
4th grade. And you, sir, how long have you been at Zion?
Since preschool.
Very good. So for the long haul. And Grace in studio with us this morning. Grace, you are, you're like the mentor for all these students in here this morning, right?
Yep.
8th grader.
Yep.
How long have you been at Zion?
Since 3-year-old preschool.
All the way through.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited to hear about your experience at Zion today and your plans for after 8th grade as well. Now, let's see, who do you have the same teacher throughout the day, or do you change classes in 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade? Taylor?
The same teacher.
Same teacher. Who's your teacher?
Mrs. Metis.
Mm-hmm. And what do you have a favorite subject in Mrs. Metis' class?
Math.
Yeah. What do you love about math?
Decimals.
Making your teacher proud with that, I'm sure. And how about you, Lucy? Who's your teacher?
Mrs. Metis.
Aha. Uh-huh. And what's your favorite class?
I really enjoy spelling.
What's the longest word you've ever had to learn to spell? Or the hardest word?
The hardest word, let's think. I don't really have one. They're just all, I don't know.
Do you have spelling tests every week?
Yes.
What are some of the words this week? We got some studying to do, huh?
Yes.
Ryan, how about you? Who's your teacher?
Mrs. Silbach and Mrs. Erzin.
And what is your favorite subject? What's your favorite
math
class? Math as well. What do you like about math?
Times.
Yeah, multiplication, huh? Grace?
Mr. Manning and Mrs. Crouch, and then also Pastor Metis.
So you have several teachers in 8th grade. All right. Do you have a favorite subject? It's okay if it's not what Mr. Manning teaches. But it might get you some extra points if it is.
She just looked over here and said, do I have to say math too? And I'm her math teacher. So I do like math.
You do like math. Do you like
math
something
and
more?
Science.
Do you like something more than math?
Science.
Science.
Yeah.
Is there something particular in science that you really love?
No.
That you really enjoy?
Grace is a lover of the healthcare profession, so I think that's where she's going to be going eventually.
Yeah.
Now look, your classmates are all outside of the studio now.
That's creepy.
They're all out there. What about after school or before school extracurricular activities? Grace, are you involved in any activities outside of class?
I play piano. Also, I play volleyball and basketball, and then I do some activities in track.
So an athlete, a scholar, a musician, and did you sing today as well?
Yes.
So you sang in the choir. Wow, a number of activities. And how about you, Ryan? Any activities that you're involved in outside of class?
Basketball, maybe track, and Thursday choir.
What position do you play in basketball?
All of them.
All of them, of course. You go to a Lutheran school, you get to play all of them, right? Absolutely. Learn about the whole game. All right, Lucy, how about you? Any extracurricular activities that you're involved in?
I do softball, volleyball, and track.
Mm-hmm. And, wow, that's a number of sports. Do you have a favorite one out of those?
I really enjoy volleyball. I just love my teammates, and it's really fun.
Now, are you really good at serving? Are you good at defense? What's your favorite position?
I enjoy serving and hitting.
Yeah. All right, Taylor. How about you? Extracurricular activities?
Volleyball, basketball, track, softball. Once in a while, I have piano lessons. Choir.
When you're not running or playing volleyball, right?
Yeah, choir and sports and piano.
Very good. So a lot of athletes and musicians. And, I see this a lot in Lutheran schools. Our students participate in a variety of things. Do you see that too, Mr. Manning? The students participate not just in sports, not just in the arts, but really across the spectrum, getting a full, I guess, well-rounded experience.
Absolutely. There's all sorts of opportunities, and they take advantage of just about every one. As you see today, we have 31 students, 4th through 8th grade. Here we only have 6 fourth through eighth grade who didn't participate in Thursday choir. That's by choice. They love it. They love to do these things. They love to serve.
And speaking of things you love to do, what are some ideas that you have about something you might love to do in the future? Do you have an idea of what career? Now, Mr. Manning already said, Grace, that you might be in a healthcare profession. Is that what you're thinking? Maybe a healthcare profession in the future?
Eventually, I want to become a flight nurse.
A flight nurse.
Yeah.
That sounds like really intense.
It does. Yeah?
You prepared for that?
I hope so.
You will be then, right?
Yeah.
Ryan, how about you? Any ideas what you might like to do in the future?
No, not really.
Just enjoying the time being a student, learning, and maybe down the road start getting a picture of what you might like to do. Yeah. Very good. Mr. Manning, how about you in the future?
Don't have any plans. You know, I just go where God sends me. And, right now I'm just blessed to be, at Zion and, around this crew. So, this is an awesome place. It's an awesome time to be at Zion.
Lucy, how about you? And any ideas what you might like to do in the future?
I want to be a teacher. I just really enjoy, just teaching people, and I have a lot of fun doing it.
And you've, I'm sure, had a lot of fine examples that have encouraged you along the way with your teachers at Zion, huh?
Yes.
Taylor, how about you? Any ideas what you might like to do in the future?
A teacher or a chef.
A teacher or a chef?
Yes.
Or maybe both?
Or maybe both.
Maybe teaching culinary arts. Are you already skilled in the kitchen? Have you started doing any practicing in the kitchen?
Well, I start making dinner and sometimes bake for my class.
Really? What do you like to bake for your class?
Cake mix cookies.
Have you guys tried the cake mix cookies? Anybody? Nobody's had them yet.
Yes, they are delicious.
Aha. Uh-huh. Lucy's had them. When do you hear about Jesus at your school? When do you hear about Jesus throughout your day at school? We'll start with Ryan.
Basically around all day.
All day? Are there specific times throughout the day or specific classes or activities at school that that you hear about Jesus and, do you have chapel times? Do you have times for Bible reading as well? I'm sure throughout all of your day, you get to study about Jesus, and it's a part of every subject you learn. Is there a particular part of the day that you really like when you get to hear about Jesus?
Religion and chapel.
Yeah. Grace, when do you hear about Jesus?
Well, all the time.
Yeah?
During the day, yeah. And then chapel and religion classes.
What do you like about chapel at Zion?
We make it fun, and we have fun little songs that we like to do, and sometimes we do actions to them. It's just really fun to do.
T- Taylor, how about you? When do you hear about Jesus at your school?
In chapel and in religion class.
Mm-hmm. What are you studying right now in your religion class?
Basically just New Testament stories.
Mm-hmm. And do you like going to chapel as well?
Yes.
Lucy, how about you? When do you hear about Jesus throughout your day?
Like all day. We can be in the middle of a subject and we can all of a sudden just start talking about Bible stories, and I really enjoy that about Zion. Like, there's never a moment whenever, like, you don't hear about God, and it's really awesome how God-centered the school is. I really like that.
Mr. Manning smiling from ear to ear as you hear that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's one of the reasons I wanted to bring Lucy's perspective as a student who transferred in, seeing different approaches and how Zion has served her and her family.
How many students attend Zion this year?
Well, we divide things up a bit. Kindergarten through eighth grade, we're at 80 students. Then roughly another between 40 and 50 in preschool. And then we have not only that, we have daycare and then after school care for some public school students who come over before and after school care. So we might see between 150 to 175 unique students on our campus in a given week.
For our listeners not familiar with Staunton, Illinois, where do you find Staunton, Illinois, Mr. Manning?
You head on up I-55. We actually have two exits for Staunton. And Staunton is an old Route 66 town. Still has a lot of life in it. We are the southernmost point of Macoupin County. And it's a small town of about 7,000. It's a great family feeling in the town, and I think we see that in our school. But we do bring in from about four or five other local communities in our school population.
How is Zion Lutheran School a part of the ministry of Zion Lutheran Church and serving that community? You mentioned you draw in families from other communities. How is this an important part of the ministry of Zion Lutheran Church?
Absolutely. It's amazing to look. Zion is in year 170, and our school predates the Civil War. And so as far as being identified church, it's always been that way. We have Civil War vets who have been in my seat as principal at the school. And when you look at that long history, it's just neat to see how Zion has been a major part of not only Staunton, but Macoupin County and southern Macoupin County. It's amazing to see the influence we have on graduates of our local public schools. And it's a pretty awesome experience.
Do you have students, do you have throughout your day, throughout your time at Zion Lutheran School, do you have opportunities to serve others? What are ways that that you get to serve others as a student at Zion Lutheran School? What do you think? Taylor? Are there ways that you get to serve others that come to mind?
I'm waiting to hear their answers, but I have a great one here, so go ahead.
We can come back to you, Lucy.
In writing class, sometimes, like, if someone's in the hospital or something, we, like, write them notes or something to make them feel better.
So you write them notes of encouragement for those who are in the hospital. Ryan, any ways that that you get to serve others?
You can help. We can help them when they're hurt.
Okay. When someone gets hurt, you learn how to help them. Grace? What are some ways that that you as a student get to help others?
You can help them with subjects if they're stuck. I especially like when Mr. Manning lets the eighth graders teach the seventh graders math.
Aha, so helping by teaching other students.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor, anything come to mind?
In chapel, sometimes the teachers let us sit with the little kids to help keep them under control.
To set an example for them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Manning?
Absolutely. One thing I don't think they realized they could have said, but probably should have said, because it applies very much to this group, is they are mentors for their classmates. It's when you're small, and especially when you're a double graded school, your older students in a class tend to be mentors for the younger students. And then they pass that on. The next year, they become mentors for that younger class. And it's just amazing to see. And I can tell you from experience, these four do a great job of mentoring to their younger students. Every one of these students around me could name off every student in our school. And that's just a neat thing. They all know each other. Sometimes oh so well.
Mr. Manning, what prompted you to consider this vocation as educator and now a principal?
As I told Herb Miller this morning, if there's an alternate route, I usually take it. I was a pre-seminary guy in college at Concordia, Texas, and did a couple years here at the seminary when I realized I really wanted to do more teaching. The pastoral ministry is just overwhelming in what pastors do, but it wasn't exactly where my gifts lined up. It lined up more with teaching. And that prompted me to head on back down to Concordia, Texas, and get my master's degree, get in the classroom, and eventually become an administrator. So not the normal route, but nevertheless, when God has a plan, he's going to get you where he wants you.
And so when did you come to Zion?
This is my seventh year at Zion. It's a bit of a homecoming for me. I grew up about 8 miles away from Zion. Zion students were the ones who beat us up on the basketball court every year growing up. So it was tough for me to walk into Zion that first time and have to get over it being my home gym instead of the gym I went into and dreaded having to play. So it was a neat homecoming for me.
How is the good news of Jesus an important part of the work that you do as principal and this ministry of Zion Lutheran School?
Well, it's the core. It's foundational. Everything we do and every project we have has to be focused on service, but not only service. That's great to serve, but to serve in the name of Christ is that ultimate gift, that blessing that we can give back. And it's just wonderful to see not only the students we have, but our past students and how they now have become servants of the community. And it's in our mission statement. We prepare today's young learners to be tomorrow's Christian leaders. And that is, we live by that.
Students, I'm sure you have friends. It sounds like you have lots of friends at Zion Lutheran School, maybe some friends outside of the school. How do you describe your school to others when they ask, what is Zion Lutheran School? Why do you go to Zion Lutheran School? Lucy, when others ask you about your school, what do you tell them about Zion Lutheran School?
It's really fun, and all the students who go there are just so nice, and the teachers are the best, like... It's the best school ever.
Taylor, what do you tell others when they ask you about Zion Lutheran School and why you go there?
It's a fun learning experience, and you get to learn about your religion that you practice, and it's just one big, happy learning family.
Ryan, do you have friends that ask you about your school? What do you tell them about Zion Lutheran School, why you go there?
But it's nice. Everybody knows you. We're all big, one happy family.
One big happy family. You like going to a school where you know the other students. All right, Grace, why do you go to Zion Lutheran School? What do you tell others about Zion Lutheran School?
Like Ryan said, we're one big happy family. That's kind of what it's like. We all know each other, and we get to learn about God. Mm-hmm. And that's...
Now, it's spring semester of eighth grade year. What are you thinking about next year? Are you nervous about next year?
A little bit. I'm going to a public school, so that's going to be a big transition, but mm-hmm. I'll make it work.
You have been at Zion since preschool, right?
Yep.
Do you feel that all that you've studied and the teachers, the others who have shaped your education there have helped prepare you for what lies ahead?
Definitely.
You feel well prepared for high school?
Yeah, in a way.
In a way. What are the ways that you feel really well equipped, really well prepared for high school?
Mostly like dealing with how they're not going to be not everybody's going to be Christians, and some of the different ways to study, especially.
Mm-hmm. So academically, you feel like you're ready to go, and you're ready to be a witness in a school that's not a Christian school. It's not necessarily an environment that's shaped by Christians and our Christian worldview, but you feel ready, prepared, armed with the Word of God.
Pretty much. I'm still a little nervous, but pretty much.
And that's to be expected anytime you go into a new environment.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're well equipped for this new adventure in high school. Mr. Manning, is that your goal? Is that these students would be prepared when they go on to this next chapter in life?
Absolutely. I had a conversation with a prospective parent a few weeks ago that said, you know, our goal is to have our student in your school until sixth grade. And I said, that's great. But, you know, our goal is to have the students there till eighth grade, and by the end of eighth grade, have them prepared to not only be academically challenged, but socially, spiritually challenged. Those things are going to be their realities, and to have them ready to be witnesses in the world. So that's our goal, is to have them there by the end of eighth grade. And I don't cry at graduation. It's not because I don't want to see them there. It's because I know they're now called to go out and go into the world, and they are ready.
Ready to be witnesses in the world that God has placed them. What can, from your perspective as an educator, what can Lutheran schools do, or what do we do well in Lutheran schools that perhaps can't be done in other environments?
Well, first of all, the connection is there. I have yet to ever go into a Lutheran school, whether it be one that I was serving in, or maybe on an accreditation visit. I've yet to go into one where I didn't feel that all the students were getting a top-tier education, an education that was going to prepare them for whatever God has called them to be. On top of that, I think Lutheran education is just foundational when it comes to the focus that Lutheran education has had on making faith integrate throughout, so students realize that the Bible just doesn't happen only in religion class. The Bible, God is there with them 24/7, and everything they learn is part of His creation. And our schools are just fantastic when it comes to making that connection for our students, that they know that they are all part of God's creation, everything that they bump into, and that they are going to be stewards of that.
We have just a couple of minutes left. I want to give everyone a chance, if you want to give any shout-outs to anyone or thank anyone for the opportunity to attend your Lutheran school. We'll start over here with Grace. Anyone, any shout-outs or any thank yous for the opportunity to go to Zion Lutheran School?
My family, my teachers, and Mr. Manning.
Ryan, how about you? Any shout-outs or any thank yous this morning?
Basically what Grace said.
your family, your teachers, your principal. All right, and let's go over to Lucy.
Yeah, just like what Grace said, my family, all the teachers, and Mr. Manning.
And Taylor, anyone you'd like to say thank you to, or any shout-outs this morning?
My family, teachers, Mr. Manning, and above all, God.
Mr. Manning, anyone, any shout-outs this morning or thank yous?
Absolutely. The big thank you is to all of our families for entrusting us to be partners in Christian education with them, and the opportunity they've given us to be with these guys every day. And so ultimately, yes. And thank you for the calling that God has given you all to be students in our school.
Fine students and brave students willing to accept the invitation to come be guests. Unless you, did you offer them extra credit this morning?
I did not. I did not.
Could have given
no casting lots or anything.
Well, thank you all for being my guest. Can we find out more about Zion Lutheran School online?
Yes. Zion-LUTH.org.
Very good. Well, thank you all for being my guest this morning. Grace, thanks for being my guest here on Faith and Family. And Ryan, thanks for being my guest this morning. And Lucy, thanks for joining us in studio. Taylor, thanks so much. Mr. Manning, principal of Zion Lutheran School in Staunton, Illinois, thanks for being my guest this morning, sharing the Zion story.
It's been a pleasure.
Happy National Lutheran Schools Week, everyone. Safe travels on your way back to Zion and Staunton. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.